Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob Effin' Switch.
Rob Effin' Switch?
Yeah, thought of that one.
Rob Effin' Switch.
Yes.
There's like two of you now. It's like Effin' Switch. Rob Effin' Switch.
Many personalities. Sometimes there's three, sometimes there's four.
So this is the Video Game Music Podcast, where we play 8-bit and 16-bit era video game tracks and talk about them.
Right.
And one thing we want to mention before we get things started today is that we have another live event coming up on January 21st.
Not just a dance party.
It's the Legacy Music. Well, it's a game. It's our game show. Name that tune. So we're going to do a live version of that. And with a couple side contests, of course, yes. Those being VGM karaoke, which mm-hmm. we do on our show, and then also there's a dance battle, which we actually do on the show sometimes, but you guys can't hear that.
Oh, we can do the shiver.
Yeah, the shiver. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You should compete.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be a conflict of interest if I did compete.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
I might just get the party started yes. as they say.
So this is going to be in San Francisco at the Hemlock Tavern, and it's an early event. It's going to be at 5:30 p.m.
Okay.
Well, it's going to start at 6, but we're saying 5:30.
Right. Just get there early.
Yeah, just get there early. So you can sign up if you want to participate in the contest.
The contest, they're going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think we're kind of talking about the idea of having some comedian contestants play along with the audience contestants also.
There will
also
be some special guests. Don't you worry about that.
And so that's actually, we'll put up a ticket link for that, yeah, or whatever. And it's part of San Francisco Sketch Fest, so that's the reason why we're actually thinking about getting the comedian guests, because to make it more of a comedy kind of oriented event.
Listen, video game music, dancing, game show, prizes, special guests, it's going to be a fantastic event.
Yeah, no, it should be fun, yeah. And, okay, so just keep that in mind. Save that date, January 21st.
Right.
And we'll talk more about it in the upcoming weeks.
Save the date.
Put the date.
A sticky. What was the date again? I forgot.
January 21st.
Okay, January 21st.
January 21st. Okay.
Check.
In San Francisco. All right, so that's for the San Francisco listeners or anybody who wants to, you know, fly out.
Right.
All right. So, next up, I just wanted to mention that a couple days ago, I beat Earthbound.
Wow. Hold on a second. Well-deserved applause.
It's not that big a deal, but thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to share my thoughts on the game a little bit.
All right.
Because, first of all, it's probably one of the greatest games I've ever played.
What?
And
you seemed on the fence. I mean, I asked you if it was so amazing.
I was on the fence. It was just that, I mean, I have to say, you know, like, I mean, turn-based role-playing games aren't my favorite kind of game, you know? But I just, you know, this game is so unusual. It's such a weird game. And it's so different from any other Super Nintendo game I've ever played, or any video game I've played at all, ever, you know? It's funny, and it's weird, and it's also fun, and it's also innovative, and the story is weird, and it's just so unique. And I mean, not only do you kind of take a trippy journey. I mean, not only is the story trippy, but it's visually very trippy also, the game. You know, it's just got trippy visuals. And it's just so, you know. Oh, and also just the music is really trippy also. It's got really weird, quirky music. And it's just so unique. I've never played anything like it.
Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
It's a 10 for sure.
10.
It makes fun of our role playing games, you know. It's definitely the best turn based role playing game I've ever played, but I haven't played that many, so.
Okay.
But it also made me think that, you know, while role playing games are kind of they're slower than action games, you know, they move slower than action games, they're much more emotionally engrossing.
Emotionally engrossing,
yeah.
You say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel a connection with some of these characters and storylines?
Yes, you do. You get into it more. I mean, that's just, you kind of just don't get that with action games as much, you know?
Sure.
And so Like, for example, I'm playing Axelay right now. That's the new game I'm working on.
Okay.
And really excellent game. Really cool, you know? And it's a flying shooter game. And but I know that after I beat it, I'm not gonna think about it as much as I'm still thinking about Earthbound. And just the ending to Earthbound was just so awesome. And I hate to use this word, but it was very epic.
Epic.
It was epic. Okay. Yeah. I think role playing games, you really do kind of develop this relationship with them, and you just don't get that with other games.
How many hours invested?
About 50.
Oh,
probably.
I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it was spread over about 2 weeks.
Jeez.
So I was kind of playing about, like, you know, I don't know, 5-6 hours a night.
Wow.
Like that, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't have a lot of free time too, but I happen to have like a block of free time, so I wanted to use it to my advantage and just really, you know, play that game.
Right.
And think about Earthbound, there's a lot of hype surrounding that game, and it lived up to the hype, definitely.
Okay.
It's such a weird game. It's so weird, and it's totally good too. And also another thing I was thinking to myself too as I was playing it is that, you know, a lot of times I might write off role-playing games as, like, you just tell it to fight and that's it, you know? But, you know, it's more than just telling it to fight. I think a good role-playing game makes you think about how to approach attacking an enemy, you know? You know, given the abilities you have and the items you have, you know, like, how are you going to strategically, you know, use those abilities to most effectively destroy an enemy, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that there is some strategy to it, and that's fun, I think. That makes it fun. So it's more than just, you know, saying fight and that's it. You kind of have to really tactfully use your players to your advantage, I mean, in the right way, you know what I mean? I mean, there's brute force ways of killing enemies, but if you can use them in a tactful way and use your, given your resources, like, if you can use them effectively, there's easier ways of killing enemies, and I think that there's something cool about that, about role playing games, you know.
Earthbound better than any of the Final Fantasy games you played?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
I
bad.
Played 1, 2, and 3. 2 and 3 being the North American releases, yeah.
What about any of the Zelda games?
Well, Zelda's in a different category, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's an action role playing game, and
sure.
But, you know, I played through Chrono Trigger, and
that's action role playing.
No. Chrono Trigger is just a turn based.
Okay.
And I like this one more than the thing about Earthbound is it's almost like it almost felt like if I made a role playing game, it would be like this. Whoa. It has just a very quirky sensibility. It's just, and it's, I think I said this before that it's got a real kind of funny sense of humor too. I mean, there's like scatological jokes in it,
wow.
There's poo jokes, fart jokes. It's my kind of humor.
Yeah, that's right up my alley as well.
And it's really cool. So anyway, I had a great time playing that game, and I think it's a really great game. It was definitely worth the time playing it, and
Well, when I get my Super Nintendo, I definitely will not be borrowing that cartridge from you.
Right. Yeah, but it's definitely the best turn-based role-playing game I've ever played. All right, that's that. One thing I want to mention about last week's episode was that in you know, you remember Dragon Spirit? And
yes.
And you played that track, and I said, I think it's Area 1. And then when we came back, I was like, actually, that's not Area 1.
Right.
Well, actually, it is Area 1.
It is
Area 1. Also, Dragon's Curse. That was another game you played. It was actually called Adventure Island in Japan.
Okay.
And it actually was Wonder Boy 3 on the Sega Master System, like redone for the Genesis? Yeah. No, for the TurboGrafx-16.
TG-16.
Yeah, but it was Wonder Boy 3 for the Sega Master System. And it actually is one of the Wonder Boy / Adventure Island. It's part of that whole franchise.
Did we talk about how many ports? It seems like there were more ports than anything on the TurboGrafx system.
Yeah, I mean, there were a
very
lot of ports.
Very heavy on the ports,
there
as opposed to original titles.
Yeah.
Which there were a few.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Sure.
But I think, yeah, I mean, you know, it's also interesting, there isn't really... I mean, there's really not a lot of game companies on the TurboGrafx-16, you know? Like, I mean, there's not a lot of Konami. The only Konami games, I feel like, are ports, you know? So, anyway. All right. So, I think that's about it, right? Anything on your end? Comic Zone?
Just wanted
progress?
No, I haven't had any time. Uh-huh. You know, I just landed that day job.
Oh, yeah.
So, the Legacy Music Hour will continue to prosper in terms of technology in the next couple of weeks or so. I'm going to be buying some equipment.
So oh, yeah?
Look out for that.
Okay.
Might be upgrading a mic or two. Getting a mic stand.
Uh-huh.
Another proper mic stand.
Yeah.
This desktop mic stand is not working out.
Uh-huh.
But while we're talking about equipment and upgrading and stuff, why not take time out to mention our sponsor?
Yes, Destiny Games.
Absolutely. One of our favorite sponsors. Right?
One of our only.
42134 Ford Road, located in Canton, Michigan. Give them a call, 734-404-5548 for all of your gaming needs.
So let's get to today's topic.
Let him have it, sir.
Military slash war. So, Ten Hut.
Ten Hut. On your knees, soldier.
Right on your now. Knees, switch. On your knees. On your knees. What is...
I think it's on your feet, soldier.
Yeah.
Right.
On your feet. What branch of military was that you're thinking of?
I don't know.
The Navy?
Well, I am not going to insult any of the armed forces. Come on.
No.
Right.
On your knees because, you know, sometimes you got to get down and into the trenches and, you know, you got to, I don't know. All right. So, okay. So what this topic means is it's just military or war-related games, and the relation to the theme of military or war has to be kind of significant, you know, because
yes.
There's a lot of run-and-gun kind of games that, you know, are kind of related to the military. Contra, for example, you know, those guys are special forces or whatever, but it's not really tied to the military very much, you know, and there's a lot of games like that are kind of have a military connection, but this, the military connection has to be kind of, you know, like a stronger, like a more apparent military connection,
right?
So for the games that we picked on this episode, or the portions of games, they have to have a significant relationship to the military or the theme of war, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to focus on for today's episode of the Legacy Music Hour, and as this is episode 58, you will be starting us off,
Sergeant Switch. I will be most happy to. I'm going to start off with a Micro Prose title.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Micro Prose?
Are you thinking of Micronet?
No, Micro Prose.
No, I don't know Micro Prose. Yeah.
Lots of Commodore 64 and Apple II titles.
Okay.
Coming out of them. And this is actually Silent Service.
Yeah, Silent Service, the submarine game, yeah.
Which is a World War II sub simulator.
Yeah.
At the time, arguably one of the best simulators.
Okay.
A lot of people. I borrowed this cartridge.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it's kind of fun. You know, you're plotting coordinates and you're figuring out how to blast other submarines.
Mm, okay.
So it's set in the Pacific during World War II.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to start off with... Well, it's a track. I think this is gameplay music, okay?
Okay.
So from Silent Service, here you go to start off our military episode. Silent Service. Soldiers.
On your knees, private, but shh. Be quiet about it, though. Just between you and me.
So.
You ever perform Silent Service? Hunter News private.
Yeah, I'll give you the silent service. I like this. I like this track. I'm not sure if this is gameplay now that I'm listening to it. I should have checked the video.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, because it ends and yeah. Makes it sound like some kind of intro.
I totally remember this game when I totally remember this game when I just being around. I remember, you know, the boxes for it, seeing it in the store and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's good. It's got that it's got a little military march. Not that you'd be doing any marching on a submarine.
Right. Well, maybe a little bit. Like maybe like two marches, like two march steps or something like that. Yeah.
You know? Marching in place.
Yeah, marching in place, yeah. I'm gonna play something from G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero.
All right. That's a favorite.
I mean, you know, what do you mean by favorite?
Well, G.I. Joe's a favorite amongst people of our generation.
Oh, yeah. You know what, though? When I was a kid, I was not into G.I. Joe. And the reason being is because it was military related.
More into My Little Pony?
Yes. I like stuff that was more fantasy related when I was younger. I didn't, G.I. Joe looked boring to me because it was, you know, it was military stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, I like Thundercats because Thundercats had a more of a fantasy related kind of situation going on. You know? But yeah, G.I. Joe, I always changed the channel if I saw that on because it looked boring to me. You know?
Wow.
But the music to G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero for the Nintendo Entertainment System, is very good.
Ironically, the music to Thundercats, the video game, not so good.
Not so good because it doesn't exist. the composers on this are Takaha and Shiochan. Shiochan's an alias for Nobuyuki Shioda. And the track we're going to hear is Fang/Buzz Boar/Pogo Battle Ball. So I guess this is invincibility music. And it's from G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. This is music from G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Music composed by Nobuyuki Shioda and Takaha. This is Invincibility music. And you know what I like about this track is that the bass is the one of the square waves is playing the bass, which, you know, usually plays the melody. And it just makes the bass sound like a slap, give it more of a slap kind of sound to it, you know, like a slap bass. You know, it gives the bass like a harder sound. You know,
it's there's more of a contrast between those two sounds. I'm going to go with Liberty or Death. Revolution.
Yeah,
and that is a video game for the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. I'm going to be playing tracks from both.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to start off with the Sega Genesis version. This comes from developer Koei.
Yeah, they do a lot of war, kind of period piece war games, it seems. Yeah.
I've never even heard of this game.
Yeah. No, I haven't either. But they do, I think that Koei or whatever, they do like a Pacific Theater of Operations and that kind of stuff. You know, kind of.
Okay, so you're playing in the Revolutionary War. This simulates that. So you're controlling either the British or the Continental Army. Okay, I'm going to start off with the ending to the Sega Genesis version. there's two endings. If America wins and if the British win.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. So I'm going to choose the ending where Britain wins.
Okay.
So this is if you control Britain from the game Liberty or Death. God save the Queen, Governor. That is the Great Britain ending. And it's got a kind of a colonial, regal sound to it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What a different world we'd be living in if Great Britain won.
This would be today's top 40.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we'd be speaking the Queen's English right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Who knows? Maybe I could have been a beef eater. That's what they call them, right?
I don't know. I never heard that.
You know what a beef eater is?
No.
No. You can imagine what's going through your head. You really don't know what a beef eater is?
I'm thinking about Get On Your Knees Private right now. When you say
beef eater performing silent service.
Yeah. A beef eater performs silent service on his knees private.
No, a beef eater is the royal guard that stands and doesn't blink.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay, yeah,
Anyway, there'd be
that's silent. That's kind of a silent service in a sense, right?
Beef eating?
Well, yeah, beef. Well, the soldiers just standing there quietly, just they're in service, you know.
Right.
So,
You know, the thing about this game is that it's a topic that, you know, we were just talking about G.I. Joe and Thundercats.
Yeah.
Not a lot of kids were talking about the Continental Congress and the American Revolution.
Uh-huh.
But they must have thought there was a target for this. There was a target market.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, what would it be like, you know, if I was really excited about this game?
Okay, yeah.
Because you can choose from three Continental Congress leaders.
Okay.
Or three British commanders that are real.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, let's play a little bit. You know, like, this is our game.
Okay.
You know, and let's just have a little fun here.
All right. So how do you start?
I'll start it off.
Okay.
I'm so going to smoke you with George Washington and the Continental Congress.
Oh, so you're playing Americans?
Oh, yeah.
You got Americans?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know, yeah, well, look, you might do all right, but you're not going to beat Sir Henry Clinton.
What?
Yeah, Sir Henry Clinton will kill you.
Are you kidding me? That guy couldn't hold Charles Lee's jockstrap. Let me tell you right now. Henry Clinton, well, first of all, I mean, he's not even of a noble descent, noble bloodline.
Well, he's a sir, though. He's a knight. He's a knight. You can't beat a knight, though.
Oh, whatever. Your politics don't stand a chance against mine.
I mean, you know, look, just when you thought it was going to be easy, though, I'm going to sick William Howe on you and see how you deal with that.
That's pretty good.
You won't know how. That's what's going to happen. And Thomas Gage. He's my homeboy.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, what do you know about Thomas Ward? Do you see how evil he looks and how mad he looks on his oil painting?
You say Thomas Ward?
Thomas Ward. No,
yeah, Artemis Ward.
I call him Tom.
Yeah. You're tight with him like
I'm
that,
tight
right?
with him
like
that. Congressman from Massachusetts. What do you know about Massachusetts? Old Massachusetts.
Well, you know, what do you know about the public houses in my country are probably 10 times as old as your state of Massachusetts.
Enough of this. Let's start playing the game. Let's get down to some war.
Can't wait.
So that, I think that's what the conversation would have been like.
Yeah, yeah. There's some real, you know, history buff kids that would be into that, I guess, right? I'm going to play something from Famicom Wars.
Okay.
This is music composed by Hirokazu Tanaka. And the track I'm going to play is... this is a Famicom-only release.
Right.
It's a war strategy game. And this is from... this is Red Star. There's two different armies, or there's two different sides. There's Red Star and Blue Moon. And this is Red Star. The theme for Red Star when you're configuring things for Red Star. And this sounds so much like Hirokazu Tanaka's music. It sounds very much like the ending music to Metroid, and it also kind of even sounds like Kid Icarus. So you'll probably, you know, recognize those that kind of Metroid ending themes kind of style in this track. So Red Star from Famicom Wars, music composed by Hirohip Tanaka. This is music from Famicom Wars for the Famicom. And this is music by Hirokazu Tanaka. This is Red Star. It sounds very similar to the Metroid ending music.
Yeah, I recognize it.
Yeah. Just really just sounds like Hirokazu Tanaka style, you know? This actually sounds like ending music, but it's not, though.
Very military-like. my allergies are getting the best of me right now. I'm trying to hold in a sneeze, but that drum, it's a military drum.
This the way that the other voice is kind of, you know, kind of working its way with the melody here, it's just very Metroid Kid Icarus kind of. I like this part a lot. This is my favorite part right here. Yeah, it just totally sounds like Kid Icarus in Metroid. It's just straight up.
I'm going to play a track for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Frub, the game, 1943.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of Midway.
Yes.
Which was, of course, an arcade game.
Yeah.
So should I credit the arcade composer?
Yes.
Jungle Kumi.
Jungle Kumi, yeah. But obviously it's some kind of alias, but I don't know who the real name is behind that.
I'm going to play, I think I'd like to play some boss music.
Yeah. You know, I actually played a track from the arcade version way back
level
on the
one.
Level one, or the first, I don't even know if it's level one, but I think it's just like the in-game music number one, you know? But yeah, that was back on the flying and shooting episode in episode 6. Yeah.
This is boss background music 1.
Yeah.
Sea Battle.
And actually, I don't know if the, I mean, I know that track that first level music or whatever is in the arcade version.
Right.
I don't know if the other tracks are. So I don't know if who would have composed what, but we'll figure it out by the time the track list comes out though.
Yeah. So, 1943, The Battle of Midway for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Here is Boss Background Music 1, Sea Battle. 1943, the Battle of Midway. Boss Battle BGM 1. Sea Battle. It's a progression. You see that? Mm-hmm. It goes from slow and now... Now you're in hysterics. You don't know what to do. Just fade it out. Fade it out. For the listeners to go crazy.
All right, I'm going to move to another G.I. Joe game.
Another one?
Yeah.
This is surprising for someone that wasn't into G.I. Joe.
Well, this soundtrack for this one... Okay, I mean, the Real American Hero soundtrack is pretty good.
Right.
This next G.I. Joe game, it's really, really good.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's G.I. Joe, The Atlantis Factor.
Okay.
And I think of all the tracks we're going to be playing today, I feel like this is the least legal for this episode, just because I actually don't really know a lot about the game, but I think I kind of think it doesn't. It uses the G.I. Joe characters, obviously, but right. I think the story has less to do with military stuff, though. Okay. You know, but the music is just so good. This whole soundtrack is really good.
Uh-huh.
And the track we're going to hear is Level 3 and 16, Rooftops. And the composer on this is, I'm not sure. It might be Nobuyuki Shioda, who did the music for the other G.I. Joe game, but I don't know if I can confirm that it's Nobuyuki Shioda. But anyway, from the Nintendo Entertainment System, this is G.I. Joe, The Atlantis Factor. G.I. Joe, The Atlantis Factor. Level 3 and 16, Rooftops.
Doesn't that beginning sound a little bit like Contra, maybe?
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. But, yeah, I love the end of this track, you know? Well, I like the end of it a lot, and I also like the sort of the right after the intro section, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This is a good track, though. This part right here is really good. This part right here. I think that's really cool. And then, I don't know, I really like this part too, right here. It's just kind of poppy, you know? It's got a pop sound to it. It's got a good rhythm to it, you know?
I'm going to go G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. Boss Battle 3 is what I'm going to play.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Sounds good.
Composer Nobuyuki. Is the alias Shiochan?
Yeah, Shiochan is the alias for right. Nobuyuki Shioda.
Shioda.
And then there's another composer, Takaha.
Takaha, right.
Or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So I have that in the name of the track, Boss Battle 3. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, Boss Music 3. I like the, it's got, that sounds a little jazzy.
I like the jazzy part, yeah.
Yeah, because this is Boss, fast-paced rock right here. Then we get a little jazzy break.
Yeah.
Jazzy Joe.
Jazzy Joe. G.I. Jazz. All right, up next, I'm going to play something from Operation Europe, Path to Victory, 1939 to 45.
Okay.
It's obviously an American Revolution game.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And no, I'm just kidding. So Operation Europe, it's a Path to Victory, 1939 to 45, World War II game. And this is for the Genesis. And this is music composed by Yuji Ono. And the track we're going to hear is Air Commander. And... I don't know.
And here we go.
This is music from Operation Europe, Path to Victory, 1939 to 45. The track is called Air Commander, and it's by Yuji Ono. Real good, huh?
Oh, I love that.
It's funny, though. It's so Latin-y, and doesn't even seem like it would fit, you know, a World War II game and, you know, taking place in Europe and stuff, you know? It's not, I mean, you know, war is kind of serious, you know? And this track seems so fun, you know?
This is more like everybody rumba.
Yeah. But this track is good, I think. It's just really good. This part right here, it's good. I like those little trills.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
It's totally good, you know? Also, I kind of feel like this track takes your last track to the next level.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Because it starts out kind of heavy, you know? And then it becomes this. Like, check it out right here. Right?
Right.
It starts out, you don't think it's going to go there, you know? But, you know, talking about taking that jazzy break, this takes like a whole, take that to the next level, you know? It's like, I mean, this doesn't just take a jazzy break. It takes a whole... I mean, the whole song is pretty much jazzy, but then, like, that beginning part's all heavy and kind of dark, you know? And then it's just fun Latin time, you know?
Fun Latin time.
Yeah.
Sexy Latin time.
Sexy Latin time. I mean, I just love the those... all those little kind of cascading voices. This part's good right here. Yeah. This is good right here because it's almost like I don't know. It's like when the instrumentalist gets to get featured playing the melody or something. That's a jam right there.
That is a jam.
That's a jam.
Very nice.
It's a Latin jam.
I would like to play a Genesis track. Genghis Khan II, Clan of the Grey Wolf, who we first heard from in the Girls, Girls, Girls episode. The composer is Michiru Oshima. And I have two choices here, but I'm going to let you decide.
Okay. I think I'm going to do that on my next one. Actually, I'm not going to let you decide. I'm just going to get your opinion on on my next track.
I have the Mongolian strategy and I have the Indian strategy.
Okay.
So it's kind of like dinner. What do you feel like? Mongolian or some Indian?
Based on food, I would go Indian.
Indian.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
But music-wise, I'm not sure. Uh-huh. Maybe Indian.
Maybe Indian.
Yeah.
Let's play the Indian strategy.
Oh, really? You don't want me to hear it first?
Okay, well, let me let you hear it, and then we'll play it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Genghis Khan II, Clan of the Grey Wolf. Mongolian strategy. Felt like some Mongolian tonight.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't this sound Western to you a little bit?
Yeah. Well, actually, it also sounds kind of like English. You know what I mean? Or, you know, kind of like Renaissance or something in a way.
Okay. You know?
It's like... Dun, dun, dun. I don't know, something, I don't know. Kind of, you know what I mean?
English.
Kind of medieval or something in a way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No, I don't know.
Could be.
Sounds Western though too. Yeah.
I like a blend of Mongolian and the English.
Yeah. It's a fusion. Western, West meets East.
Mongolian beef eater.
Mongolian cowboy. I'm going to do the same thing for you did to me.
Right.
And I've got a game here called Stealth.
Oh.
And it was a Super Famicom only release.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Vietnam War game.
Ooh.
It's interesting to me, the whole idea of war-based video games. It's a serious subject,
sure.
You know? I mean, especially, you know, World War II. I mean, well, they're all serious, but, you know, World War II is pretty heavy and... You know, Vietnam, very heavy.
Although, you know what?
And they're making games out of it, you know?
World War II, I think, has been romanticized to a point where it's okay
to make
all these games, whereas I think the Vietnam War is still a little touchy.
Yeah, the Vietnam War is definitely touchy, and maybe that's the reason why it didn't come out in North America. But,
sure.
But I feel like even World War II is still pretty touchy for Germans and Japanese, maybe, you know?
I mean, agree, but in this country, I think it was more...
World War I, I think, definitely is on the romanticized tip at this point.
Sure. You know? Well, I think World War II as well. I mean, you got the Axis of Evil and...
Axis of Evil?
Was that the...
Axis Powers?
The Axis Powers. Oh, no, I'm thinking George W. But yeah, it's more of the fight between good and evil. That's how I think a lot of people view it.
And
it's easy. It's not, you can't make that distinction with the Vietnam War.
Well, you know what's interesting also about World War II games is that, you know, these games are made by Japanese people.
Right.
And I mean, that's interesting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like that they're making these games about a war that they lost, and it wasn't that long ago, you know?
Right.
Especially when the games were made too.
Yeah.
And that's interesting too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, it's like, I wonder how they feel about that, making a game out of, like, you know, I don't know, serious subject that they, you know, lost too.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird.
Right.
Well, anyway, so Stealth, Vietnam War game. I don't have the composer for this, but it was published by Hecht, and it was developed by either Hecht or Axis Art Amuse. So that's the closest thing I can get to it. A composer is okay. those companies. So the choice I'm going to give you, and I'm not. I think ultimately I'm going to make the final decision, but I would like to hear your input, though.
Well, I like being teased and then having the door slammed in my face, mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, at ease, soldier, or whatever. At ease. Ending or weapon select? I have a feeling you're going to go with weapon select, and I almost was going to... I was definitely going to play weapon select at first, and then it just... It's a little repetitive, and... but it's actually pretty cool.
Okay.
It's just kind of repetitive. And then the ending, it's pretty good. It sounds like movie music, actually. It just sounds very cinematic.
Okay.
Well, you'll see what you think. The ending music is kind of the title theme with extra parts to it. But I think you're going to like the weapon select. But you might like ending, though.
Well,
we'll see what you think. So this is music from Stealth for the Super Famicom. This is music from Stealth for the Super Famicom. This is the ending.
I think you made the correct choice.
Uh-huh.
Because you played the other track for me, but this one is definitely the better of the two, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, the other one is really good, and I think it would have beat out this one if it changed up a little bit. It's just a little too repetitive.
But it doesn't mean the other one's bad.
Yeah, no, it's good, too.
I enjoyed the other one, but this one, it's...
But this just sounds like a movie music, you know? Like right here, especially this part. I mean, this sounds like a straight up movie right here. This part sounds like Zelda.
Right.
But it's just, you know, This just sounds so cinematic, you know, the way that it goes into this whole section, you know? Like this slow part of it, sure. You know? And then they got the amp up right here. It's pretty powerful, actually, you know? Leading up to this. It's good. I think this is really good. I mean, it's sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. Liberty or death, revolution. We heard from that.
Yeah.
For the Sega Genesis.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to play something from the Super Nintendo.
Is it the same soundtrack?
There's different tracks. Some songs are the same, some aren't.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I didn't have a composer for the Genesis version, but for the Super Nintendo version, I have the Koei Sound Team.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, who can really say what that means?
Yeah.
But that's what I have.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to play American Strategy.
Okay.
The track that you would hear when you're plotting to blast some dirty redcoats.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Liberty or death.
Controversy on the Legacy Music Hour here.
I don't like redcoats. American Strategy from the game Liberty or Death. SNES Strike.
Is this track, is there a Genesis version of this track? Or is this one of
it's
the ones
different.
That, is this one the that's unique to the
I think this
that,
one is this one's unique.
To the yeah. Super Nintendo, yeah.
Because I compared a couple of them and this one is different.
Yeah. I'm going to play something from a game called Sergeant Saunders Combat, which is based on a 1960s American television program.
Okay.
Called Combat.
Hmm.
And this is a Super Famicom release only. And I think, I kind of try to remember what war this takes place during. It must be World War II. I'm not sure.
I would imagine.
I forgot which war it was. But yeah, composer unknown, but I have the Chicken Head Sound Team. So that, you know, I don't know.
That's Chicken Head Sound
Team. That's the closest we can get to a composer. And I don't even know where this is in the game. I don't have a title for this track.
Okay.
So all I have is... this is some music from Sergeant Saunders Combat for the Super Famicom.
Why isn't it funny? It's Chicken Head Sound Team and it's Sergeant Saunders. But it should be like Colonel Saunders.
Ah, yes, that? Right. Yeah. That's Colonel Saunders. Yeah, it's Colonel Saunders Combat. That's funny. Yeah, it's true.
We'll be right back.
This is music from Sergeant Saunders' Combat for the Super Famicom.
Military drum right there.
It's also got like a timpani situation also.
Oh, yes. I felt bad for the guy that had to carry that into battle.
Sure, yeah.
During the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, yeah.
The timpani.
World War II, by the way.
Right.
Confirmed.
Okay.
World War II.
Yeah, that was even harder carrying the timpani into World War
II. Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to close out my set with a little TurboGrafx-16.
Okay.
I mean, you heard a lot of it in the last episode, but I thought I'd just sprinkle a little dab of it.
I think that last episode was one of our best episodes.
I mean, there were some winners.
Yeah.
Musically, it was a sound episode.
Yeah, just, it was good.
Not that, you know.
It was good, though, but I thought the talking was good on it, too, you know?
Oh, hey.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought all the way around it was good.
You want to toot our horns? Let's toot them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tooting right now.
Yeah.
P-47 Freedom Fighter. Do you know that game?
I do because of you.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know about it before researching this because I thought it would be nice to play a TurboGrafx-16 track for a military episode.
Yeah.
There were a couple of titles out there. Some of them I couldn't find soundtracks for, which I was disappointed because I wanted to share some of that.
Sure.
But I was able to find one for P-47 Freedom Fighter. This is level music. Not sure which level.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed this track, and that's how I'm going to close out my set.
Okay.
Here you go. P-47 Freedom Fighter. And some track, huh? It's got a little bit of that tropical.
It's kind of weird
flavor.
It's kind of a weird track.
Yeah.
But man, that solo though, it gets really funny though, you know? Because it just, you know.
Here it goes. Yeah.
Here it comes. kind of reminds you of Outrun a little bit, you know?
Yeah!
I like how that does that. It goes all the way down like that.
Yeah.
That's funny, actually. It kind of, it's like a, it sounds like a, it pitch bends almost down right there, you know, something like that. Anyway.
This is a really fun track. Very danceable, so it may find its way onto a dance mix. I don't know.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to play a track from PTO 2. PTO stands for Pacific Theater of Operations.
Right.
And this is a Koi game or whatever. Koi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so PTO 2, part 2.
Okay. Yes.
World War 2, 2.
World War Squared.
World War Squared.
Right.
That's our next topic, actually, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Well,
this is music composed by Yoichiro Yoshikawa, and this is called American Weapon Production, and this is for the Super Nintendo, PTO 2. This is music from PTO 2, Pacific Theater of Operations. Composer Yoichiro Yoshikawa, and this is American Weapon Production.
I like that ending a lot.
Jazzy.
Oh, yeah.
Jazzy. Who knew a military episode would be so jazzy? This is just such a, this is like this cool jazz sound, you know? It's funny because, you know, what's funny to listen to on this, in the soundtrack, is the comparison between the Japanese side and the American side. And, you know, because it's all this, the Japanese, this Japanese weapon production, and that has a different sound, you know?
Is it jazzy?
No, it's not. And then the, and then the, but it's funny because the American stuff in this game is more jazzy sounding. When it says there's like an American meeting or something like that,
right,
it's jazzy sounding, but the Japanese one's not jazzy. It's got a different sound to it. And I mean, it's just funny that the American side is kind of represented through jazz, like a jazz sound,
yeah,
in this game. Anyway, all right, well, that's the end of our focus on military / war
at
related
ease.
Games.
At
yeah,
ease.
Now it's time to at ease.
Right.
At ease privates.
Yes. At ease your privates.
At ease your privates. Yeah. We didn't go through all the, there were so many more military terms we could have used, you know?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Like we could have said negative and we could have said
affirmative.
Affirmative. Or we could have said, you know, something like, we could have done more drill sergeant type stuff,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know, you know. We could have said hoorah or whatever.
Right, hoorah. I think hoorahs.
You know, I entertained the troops overseas.
That's right.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
In Japan, actually. I mean, not Japanese military people, but
right,
you know, an American base in Japan, yeah. Actually, seven bases. Six or seven bases.
That's how I entertained seven troops.
Yeah, seven officers.
Right.
It was a private show.
Yeah.
It's like, it was in Okinawa, and then there was one on the mainland. Yeah, Marines.
Did you get Marine Corps? Didn't they give you a jacket or anything?
No, a Letterman jacket.
Well, our friend Chris Tinkle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went to Iraq. Oh, yeah. And he got a jacket with his name on it.
Right.
Which he wears around like he was in the war.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he was, in a sense. Yeah?
Okay.
He was in the trenches, you know. All right, so for a full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com.
Yes.
And you can email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
Give us a call, 281-SONIC-91, or text us.
You can leave a message, or you can text.
Comment on our blog posts.
Yeah, you can comment on there. You can check out pictures of us.
Right. There's always a picture.
There's always a picture with every episode.
Yes.
And also, next week's episode, we're doing the square focus again, right?
Which will be?
Square 2 or square squared.
Square squared.
Yeah, because it's square 2.
Right.
So there's that. And what was that?
It's the Legacy Music Hour bunny.
I know, but it sounded like a like air.
No, when she hops on her platform, it makes sense.
Oh, okay.
She's getting kind of big.
Yeah, big bunny. What else? Anything else?
Mark your calendars again.
January 21st.
Keep your eye out for details, and all the info will be coming.
Yeah, there'll be a ticket link. So tell your San Francisco friends.
Yes.
All right. We're going to leave you with Guile's theme from Street Fighter 2.
Yes.
What are we... Okay, I actually had this thought. Which console, which version is the real question, right?
This could be a whole hour of debate.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I was listening to Super Street Fighter, the music of Super Street Fighter 2, you know,
right,
for Super Nintendo, and it actually almost sounds like a mix between the Genesis and the Street Fighter 2 Turbo version.
Okay.
You know? So maybe you'd be into that, you know. Because it kind of sounds like a mix.
Okay.
But we'll play one of them. I don't know. You guys get... Actually, that's the thing. You'll guess. Don't look at the track list. Just guess and see if you can figure out which version this is.
Okay.
Is this... it might be the Genesis version. It might be the arcade version.
Oh.
It might be the Super Nintendo version, the first version. Or it might be Super Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo, which is different sounding.
Don't even tell me.
Oh, I won't.
Yeah.
Well,
let me guess.
Yeah, but I kind of want you to decide with me, though.
Wow.
Oh, as we're deciding, I'll let you guess. Yeah, okay, that's what we'll do. All right, so that's what we'll do. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I am Rob Sergeant Switch.
Sergeant Switch. How come I didn't get a military title?
What do you want to be?
Well, it should be alliterative with Brent, right? So
Brent...
Bernal.
Bernal.
Burgent Brent.
Bart.
Like... Wait, what are the rankings? Lieutenant? I'll just...
You want to be lieutenant?
Well, I would like it to be...
Brent.
Have alliteration, you know. Maybe something with Weinbach? Is there a...
How about General Weinbach?
Well, yeah. All right, I don't know.
Captain?
It doesn't have a ring to it, like Sergeant
Captain
Switch.
Captain Brent?
There's
no B.
There's no B?
No.
We'll make one. Boss, what? Boss Brent. That's a cowboy one. Whatever. I don't need one. All right. That's it. Thank you for listening.